Think about this. I made this note. The only way that you will know something is strong enough is if that something has been tested and proven to be trustworthy by bearing the weight. Let me say that again. The only way that you will know that something or someone is strong enough is if that something or that someone has been tested, has been proven to be trustworthy by bearing the weight. See, God is graciously placing this weight upon you so that He will show you that you can trust Him, and therefore now your life will be trustworthy.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey, this is John Couch at This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. You know, so many people are hurting, so many people are struggling, and so many people have no hope. I can't think of any better way than to gain hope than to dig deep into God's Word. And so I invite you right now to take your Bible. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5, looking at verses 3 through 4, as we listen to the conclusion of the message entitled, Suffering Joyfully and Reaping Its Rewards.
Key number one, I will never get to where God desires to take me if I continue to play it safe. You know, here are tribulations. They're producing, and I don't want you to miss this, church family. Your tribulations, your trials, your disappointments, whatever you want to call it, your pain, whatever you want to label that today, those tribulations are producing. There's a working going on right now in the midst of your valley of suffering. God is working. He's not asleep. He's not slumbering. He's working. He's working. He's working. He's working. You got to see that. You got to see that He's in the midst of it. That He hasn't left you. He hasn't abandoned you. When you're in Christ, you are in Christ, period. When it's real, amen? There's a producing and accomplishing, a resulting in. I mean, think about it. When was the last time that you went through a trial? When was the last time you went through a trial? Some of you are going, wait a minute, I'm going through a trial like right this minute. I get it. But when's the last time you went through a trial and instead of like I tend to do, because God's working on me greatly in this area, but I tend to panic at times. I tend to fret. I tend to fear. I tend to worry. What would happen in my life and your life if starting today, when every trial came in our life, we just paused for a moment. We said, okay, let me do a check here. God, are you still on your throne? Yes, praise. Okay, awesome. Great. What if we did this? What if in the future, starting right now, going forward, we said, when a trial comes into your life, we just start going, woo, 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 woo. I can't wait to see what God's going to do to Satan through this one. Amen. I can't wait to see what God's going to do to show Himself mighty. I can't wait to see. I want to anticipate. I want to be on the edge. I want a front row ringside seat to watch God decimate the enemy. So what happens? Three quick things. Maybe not quick. I'm a preacher, but three things. Amen. What's the first thing that's being produced? Not a trick question. Number one in your Bible. There it is in verse 3. Perseverance. The first thing, don't miss this, the first thing that Paul writes here, as he glories, as he boasts in the Lord, as he's not playing it safe, as he understands his mission, his assignment, his call, as he understands those things. Think about that. As he understands his mission, as he understands his assignment, as he understands his call, don't miss that. He now has confidence in the midst of the pain because he knows his Redeemer lives. Yes, He has confidence because he knows this, that the enemy is coming at him, yet he knows that his King Jesus is greater than the enemy. He knows this and has confidence because this, that he knows his suffering is producing something that's going to make him more like Jesus. Perseverance. What is it? It's endurance. It's steadfastness. It's sustaining patience. I write it down, James 1, 2 through 4. You probably have this imprinted somewhere on something that you own. James 1, 2 through 4, well, we quote it all the time, right? My brethren, count it what? All joy. When you fall into various trials, knowing, there's that knowing that, see, I know it's producing, there's a confidence, knowing that the testing of your faith, here we go, produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Do you see that? Woo, that's hard, isn't it, though? We don't like that verse, do we? There's certain verses in Scripture we like. We highlight them. Count it all joy. So now Paul and James have lost their minds. Yes, they have. They've lost their minds for Jesus. Amen? And that's why they can say this. Count it all joy. Don't look at the pain. Don't look at the suffering. Don't look at the trial. Just look at Jesus. That's why key number two in your notes is this. Write it down. Key number two. My trials are producing spiritual muscle that nothing else can produce. Let me say that again. Key number two. My trials are producing spiritual muscle that nothing else can produce. It's part of it. Any bodybuilders in the room besides Manny? Any bodybuilders besides Manny? Okay, all right, okay. I guess you're it, brother, okay. If you're a bodybuilder, if you lift weights, you understand this, that you're actually tearing the muscle. You're breaking it down to build it up. You're tearing it. You are decreasing it, if you will, so that it will be stronger, that it will be under more stress, so that it can have more strength. One person said it like this. I don't know who said it, but I love the quote. They said this, strong people rarely have an easy past. Strong people rarely have an easy past. Think about this. I made this note. The only way that you will know something is strong enough is if that something has been tested and proven to be trustworthy by bearing the weight. Let me say that again. The only way that you will know that something or someone is strong enough is if that something or that someone has been tested, has been proven to be trustworthy by bearing the weight. See, God is graciously placing this weight upon you so that He will show you that you can trust Him, and therefore now your life will be trustworthy. Perseverance. Perseverance. That's why Paul could exclaim in 2 Corinthians 12:10. He goes even deeper now, talking to the church in Corinth. He says, therefore, I take pleasure. In the original language, this means this, to think to be good. Therefore, I take pleasure, I think to be good in my infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, and in distresses. Why? For Christ's sake. And then he says this, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Do you see this? Do you see how God is working today, building perseverance in your life? For when you are weak, for when I'm weak, it shows a lost and dying world that we're not great. We can't pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, even though the world tells us to do that. No, we say, look, we're so weak that we're just going to fall on Jesus. We can't even stand, but we're going to fall on Jesus. Because when I'm weak, that's when I'm really strong. Because Jesus makes much of his power and perfection in weakness. 1 Corinthians 16:13, I love this one. 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. So we got perseverance after the glory and the tribulations. We know it's producing, it's working, it's accomplishing. But number two is this, that you confidently will know that God is producing character in you. Now, some of you are a bunch of characters, amen? Amen? Don't lie, you're in the church house. Lightning may strike. I'm not going to lunch with you. You know what I'm talking about? And what is character? Well, a lot of times we'll give a definition like this. A character is who you are when no one's watching. That's a good definition. I want to go even deeper. Any basketball fans in the room? Basketball fans? Three guys are saved. Oh, good grief. Good grief. Man, we got our work cut out for us. We need to go back to Genesis 1. Good grief. Okay, only three guys. All right, well, the rest of you act like you like basketball. It's a round ball, hoop, kind of orange. They throw it in there. John Wooden, great basketball coach. Won a few championships. Listen to what he said about character. Love this. Amazing, actually. Character. Be more concerned with your character than your reputation. Because your character is what you really are, while your reputation is merely what other people think you are. See, it's all about who you really are. Who are you today? Are you a child of the King? Can you say today, I've been bought with the most precious blood that's ever been shed? Like, that's my life. I'm an overcomer. Because through Christ, that I'm in Him, and He covers me, and He leads me, and He guides me, and He takes me beside those still waters. Whose are you today? Character. I was trying to think of an illustration from Scripture. There's several, but the one that really hit me hard was Joseph. Not in the New Testament, although we could say he had great character. But I'm talking about Joseph in the Old Testament. Now, there Joseph is. You got to remember that he did not have an easy life, did he? You know, I don't know, was he taunting his brothers? Hey, I'm the favorite. And they go, hey, we got a solution to this. We're going to throw you in a hole. Well, I don't know. Maybe that was the case. We don't know definitively. But we know that Joseph did not have an easy life. Matter of fact, God had to take him for a number of years through a lot of heartache and pain. Falsely accused, imprisoned. But see, God had a plan. And He's got a plan for your life today. And in Joseph's life, he was taken from the pit to the palace. To get from the pit to the palace, there was some bumps in the road. There were some detours. There was some heartache and some pain. And, well, Mrs. Potiphar shows up one day. Mrs. Potiphar doesn't have overly pure motives, amen? And so Joseph was at a crossroads. He could have given into his flesh and suffered the consequences. But here's what he says in Genesis 39, verse 9. Listen to his response. He says, there is no one greater in this house than I. Nor has he, Mr. Potiphar, kept back anything from me but you, Mrs. Potiphar, because you are his wife. And then he says these words in this question. He says, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Woo, that's a man of great character. That's a man who understands. He understands whose he really is, that his life is no longer his own, that he was God's and he was to be his servant and his vessel to go do much. And we know the end of that story, that God had foreordained by his sovereign plan that we take him from the pit to the palace. And for what man meant for evil, God meant for good. For what man meant for evil, God meant for good. That's why key number three, write it down, key number three. My trials reveal who I really am, period. You ever thought about that? My trials reveal who I really am. Like, you can only continue the charade for so long. Time is the great exposer of who we all really are, amen? I mean, time does it. If you just wait long enough, you'll find out who someone really is. Time. Time. Trials. Trials. I made this note, in the midst of trials, who or what we believe in will dull our pain and fill our void and take the edge off is where we typically run to first. Amen? Amen. If you believe God will do that in your life, you will run to Him. But if it's alcohol, drugs, sex, pornography, whatever it might be, money, you will run to that every time to take the edge off because the pain's intense. Yeah. This life is hard. But I know this, greater is He that's within me than he that's in the world. I know this confidently, that since my God is for me, who can be against me? And the answer is no one or anything, amen? That's why we need to daily, don't miss this, we need to daily die to self, to be a slave to Christ, and to cry out that the fear of God would fall on us, moment by moment, day by day. And that's why, lastly, what is the third and final characteristic, if you will, that's being produced? It's hope. Hope. Everyone wants hope in our culture. They're looking for hope because they don't see hope. They look on their horizon and all they see is trials. All they see is trouble. All they see is disappointment. All they see is heartache. They're looking for hope. What does this mean? What's Paul saying? Here's what it means. Hope here is an expectation that is grounded only in God and that is confident and joyful. It's an expectation. This is not one of those deals like I could say, I hope when I get home this evening that there's some chocolate chip cookies on the counter. Amen? Oh, praise Jesus. Come on, we're the chocolate chip lovers. Amen? You know what I'm saying? I'm hoping, I'm wishing, I'm crossing my fingers. That's not what Paul is saying. No, there's a confidence in here. Paul is saying, look, I understand this. I believe it. It's totally wrecked my life in a good way. Now my life is no longer my own. I know that I can glory in my tribulations. I can boast in the Lord. I can say, ooh, I can't wait. I can't wait to see what God does. Why? Because I know that there's producing in my life going on, perseverance and then character. And now character lends to hope. Hope. Lastly, key number four, write it down. You're going to need it before you leave here today, probably. Key number four. The hope that Jesus gives is greater than what I fear. Period. The hope that Jesus gives is greater than what I fear. Today, you and I must choose faith over fear. Those are the two options. Those are it. I mean, you can try to find other options, but ultimately, you can disseminate them down to two things. I'm going to choose to walk by faith or choose to walk by fear. And that's it. Which one are you choosing? Which one are you choosing today? Are you determined today to say that I know that the hope that Jesus gives is greater than what I fear? I like what Martin Luther said. He said, I've held many things in my hands and I've lost them all. But whatever I've placed in God's hands, that I still possess. Amen. Do you see that visual? Yeah. There's a hope and a confidence. You can just let go and let God, as the old adage goes. God, I'm going to release everything to yours because it's yours anyway. That sounds like a real prideful statement, by the way, doesn't it? God, I'm going to release everything to you. And God's going, you fool, John. Everything that you have is of me anyway. He looks at me like he did to Job and says, where were you when I created the world? That's why, in conclusion, I want to read you these verses. Don't miss these verses. It's just the Word of God. It's all this is. It's everything that this is. Amen? a few verses. Just listen. Don't look them up. I want you just to listen to God's word. I'm going to read through them rapid fire. I want you to bathe and wash them over your soul right now. Talking about the hope. The hope that Paul is referring to here. Here we go. Romans 8, 24 through 25. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Philippians 1:20, talking to the church there in Philippi. According to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified, get it, glorying, lifted up in my body. I love this. Whether by life or by death. Speaking to Titus to encourage him in the battle, Paul says in Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And lastly, Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised it's faithful. Glorious words from the Word of God, amen? You say, what do I do with this, preacher? What do I do with all this? What do you do? Where do you go with this, preacher? Understand this. Listen up, follower of Christ. Listen up. The impact, influence, and potency of your life is crafted not on the victory stand, but in the searing valleys of pain that God graciously gives to you. You cannot be battle tested unless you're in a battle. You cannot be forged unless you're in a fire. That's why I want to implore you to do these things starting today and forevermore. Intentionally strive and agonize to break the tape of the finish line of heaven. Don't coast across the finish line in the midst of your pain. Number two, intentionally deny yourself and risk everything today for the cause of the gospel going forth and bringing people to the cross of Jesus Christ. Your life's not going to be a tragedy because you gave everything to Jesus. Your life's going to be a tragedy because you held it all back. Use it for His glory. The reward's not here. The reward's in heaven with Him. Three, intentionally rest in the one Jesus, the only one who can calm your storm. He is the anchor in your storm today. Number four, intentionally and confidently know that it'll be worth it all when you stand face to face with King Jesus on that day. No regrets. You're just like, I gave it all. I know it wasn't perfect, Jesus, but I gave it all for you. I laid it all on the line. Everything, my family, my finances, my material possessions, my job, whatever it is, you just laid it all on the line for Jesus. And He's going to say, oh, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of rest. And then lastly, intentionally sing to yourself daily, on Christ the solid rock I stand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne, faultless stand before the throne, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground, all other ground, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. You say, preacher, I'm hearing you. But if I had just enough money, I could buy my way out of my problems. That's an interesting concept, which I'm sure all of us have either entertained or are entertaining. There's only one answer, and his name is Jesus. See, you can suffer joyfully, and you can reap his rewards. How do you do that? Oh, you just begin to glory in the midst of your trials. Boast in Jesus, knowing confidently he's working, he's producing perseverance, and then character, and character, a hope that will never fade nor disappoint, though he is with you, church family, and though he may slay you. I pray today, from this day forward, whether he goes your way or not, I pray that you will forever trust in him. Amen. Father, we love you. We come before you for this time of contemplation. God, as you speak in this time for just a moment here, as I'm praying, God, I pray if there's one that doesn't truly know you, God, I pray right now, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, would you rip the scales and the blinders from the heart and the mind and the soul, and I pray that person or those persons will come to know this Jesus who is called the Christ. God, for those of us that do truly know you, but perhaps we're not living for you like we should. Perhaps we're holding back. Perhaps we're holding on to the things of this life as our security blanket. And you're calling us right now to be all in for you, to lay everything on the altar so that the gospel will go forth with power and in your glory. Oh God, I pray, would you just do a work right now that only you can do? And to you be the praise, to you be the glory. And we pray this in the mighty and the matchless name of the King, whose name is Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, 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 amen.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. That's info@thisdayministries.org. Or you can write us at This Day Ministries, P.O. Box 7267, Brandon, Florida 33508. That's This Day Ministries, P.O. Box 7267, Brandon, Florida 33508. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.